It is 2019, and this is the very first Scare Guys show of the year. The Scare Guys are back, and the Scare Gals. Anyways, tonight we will be previewing 2019's most anticipated horror films of the year. These are the films that we can't wait to see. It's going to be a great time tonight. Stick around.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's The Con Guy, Comic-Con Prep Show.
Welcome, everybody. How appropriate is this music with the news coming out this week about the new Ghostbusters, which I'm super stoked about. My name is Jim. I'm the managing editor here at The Scare Guy. Thank you guys for joining us. This is our very first show of the year. You can always check us out at thescareguy.com. There's only three of us this week, but we have enough voices to fill the whole room. Who do we have this week?
Hi, I'm Katie. I am cosplayer and costume designer and just consumer of all things nerd, media, horror-related.
And I'm normally Cheeseman on the couch, but I'm now sick Cheeseman in the chair right now, who has a little bit of a cold, so maybe it'll make my voice a little darker, but and deeper.
Deeper, darker,
but
sinister.
I am with ScareGuy.com, and yeah, here at the table today.
Yeah, normally we would have Katie sitting by Cheeseman over there at the other side of the table.
We have invisible glass right here. I'm quarantined.
Boy,
I have the virus, the zombie virus.
People have been falling like flies lately, getting sick. Like, I was out of work probably for 2 or 3 days, just recently sick for about a week and a half, and I try not to cough on you, Katie.
It's okay.
Cheeseman's just coming around. And Cheeseman, you actually, even though through your sickness, you were able to do something kind of cool this weekend. What was it?
Well, I felt myself getting sick, and I'm like, this is not happening when I'm supposed to do a Spartan Super, which is, it's a 8.7-mile obstacle course out in Chino, California. They have them all over. They have the Beast. They have the Sprint. And our friend Richard from New York convinced me to do it with them. So luckily I stayed well enough for them, but now I'm paying the price. But got myself a nice little finisher medal.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So yeah, I got a shirt, got this, and bragging rights.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. Like, we got some pictures. We'll show them on the website of up and over. What's the big A-frame thing, rolling through the mud, going through the barbed wire?
Yeah, they got all sorts of names. Like, Richard kept saying, like, oh, yeah, remember. I'm like, which one is that? Oh, it's the little metal thing with the bars. Okay, yeah, it's that one.
That was a lot of fun, though. Like, I was a spectator because I'm not quite as gutsy, and I was not in shape at all, and my knees are kind of hurting these days. So, but I was able to, I might as well have paid to compete with you guys because I walked halfway over.
Yeah, we did a lot of walking, but as long as you finish, but we did do the, like, you get in, like, mud water, and that was actually a lot sooner than it was when I did the sprint before, so I was covered.
So this is your second one.
Wet mud, yes.
Yeah, that's
For at least 2 miles and like 10 or more obstacles.
Well, congratulations. I know that Rich is trying to get you to
now a Beast, which is the 13-mile.
The 13-mile one. So, yeah.
Wow.
If I can stay healthy.
Working your way up. Well, that's pretty cool. Everybody, tonight on the show, we will be talking mainly about the movies that will be coming out this year, the horror movies coming out. And it looks like it's going to be another one of those years where there's a good mix of what we call prestige horror films, which are those important horror films, the ones that sometimes, you know, there's the schlocky ones, which I grew up on and love so much. And now these days we're having these important films, these ones that say something, these ones that don't always seem that scary. But anyways, we will be talking about that tonight. But first, we have a couple of things to talk about. I'm going to go through some news of the week. And let me just say before we start, We were having to adjust our plans a little bit. We had a really good guest, a special guest that was going to be on the show tonight. There's a movie coming out this weekend called Painkillers, and it's having its LA debut this weekend. We did have one of the actors on the show, and she is not able to be with us tonight, and so we will try to get her back on, and maybe we'll get some people from that movie on. They are friends of ours, actually. They had a really cool movie they've done before called, what was it called?
Fear Inc.
Fear
and we
Inc.
did a podcast on it, yeah, on the show. Actually, was it the Scare Guy or was it the?
It was Scare Guy, yeah.
It was Scare Guy.
I think that was the Scare Guy.
Yeah, it was Luke and Vince and Natalie, and that was a really good show. So, anyways, we hope to get those folks back in here. But what we're going to do tonight is we're going to start off with some news of scary news that came out. Katie, thank you for shooting me text today and keeping me abreast of what was happening.
Ba, ba, ba.
I know, whatever. We also, and before we go any further, we have to pay our respects to two of our comrades who are no longer with us. They're not dead, but they have gone on to greener pastures. That sounds like somebody's dying, doesn't it?
Can we play funeral music?
No, that's terrible. No, Tony. Rest in peace. Tony has been our engineer for quite some time, and he is one of the biggest lovers of horror. He was the host of Horror Movie News here on the Popcorn Talk Network. And Tony has he has actually moved a couple hours away from the studios here. He is doing some other things right now. So, Tony, we wish you well. We hope to see you back soon. And then also our longtime host on the show, Carrie. Carrie is, she got a really cool job at a television station up in Santa Barbara that is keeping her busy to like 10 to midnight, somewhere between 10 and midnight every night. So as she said, it's a grown-up person's job. So we're really happy for her. Hopefully we'll see a lot of her. I know Carrie will be at the convention. She'll be doing a lot of stuff. But we wish them well, and we wish they were here. But, you know, in their absence, we will continue on. We will soldier on as best we can. Anyways, we had some pretty cool news this week. Katie, what was that? You shot me a text this morning. It was really kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm assuming the news came out this morning. It's about the, they're making a movie about wow, I am sorry. I cannot talk right now.
It's Luke. Blame it all on Luke.
Invisible Man movie.
Universal's
Universal and Blumhouse, because everybody, I think by now, if you follow the horror world, you'll know that Blumhouse and Universal have a good thing going on right now. And yeah, it's with the mastermind behind Insidious and Saw, and I know I'm going to pronounce the name wrong. How do you say that last name?
wait, let me find it. Is it Lee Whannell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I would never know how to say the last name. So yeah, and attached to direct. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. It's going to be interesting because I know like everybody's kind of like, where's the dark universe going?
Right.
Like,
now, what happened to the dark universe? And for those who don't know right off what we're talking about, the dark universe a couple years ago was the shared universe that they were trying to create for the rebooting of the Universal Monsters.
Yeah. And then the Mummy came out.
On your shirt, like Luke's got on his shirt over here.
If you can see, this way?
Anyways, you can just describe it.
There it is. Yeah. It's my little Ramones. Monsters are good. They're at the Monster Palooza. And Son of Monster Palooza, but they sell shirts there. You can look online. But
who?
They do kind of. Monsters Are Good, I think, is the name of the company.
Oh, it's the name of the company. I thought it says Monsters Are Good on the shirt.
So, yeah, this is Classic Monsters with the Ramones kind of look. And on the back, they have like the logo with Frankenstein, Wolfman, Dracula, all that on there, too. So it's a really cool shirt.
Yeah.
But you were telling us that. Well, what happened to the.
You know, I think everybody knows, like, the last Mummy movie that came out did really well.
With Tom Cruise.
I didn't even see it.
I haven't seen it yet either.
Yeah,
Monsters Impossible?
No.
Is that what it was?
No.
I think everybody's still kind of, like, wondering.
Yeah,
Monsters Impossible? Yeah.
I think everybody's still trying to figure out, like, what's going to happen with that. So that's kind of cool that they announced that.
Mm-hmm.
And
this film is, Universal did announce that it is not necessarily attached to a shared universe.
Yeah,
they're not going to force the shared universe on people anymore, which is kind of cool. I'm just excited because the fact that Blumhouse is doing it means it's going to probably be scary, which I was kind of disappointed that the Mummy movie looked more like
an action adventure.
Yeah, an action adventure. Yeah. And the Mummy was more, she was the same character that was in Suicide Squad, that big, the powerful woman character. I remember
the Mummy villain.
The Mummy villain. Yeah, it was just crazy. Like I thought.
That's why you say that.
I don't know who it was. Anyways, thank you for sending this to me. I'm really excited about that. But I'm also equally excited about the news about the new CW show that might be coming next year.
I knew you would be super
stoked. This is one of my favorite movies of all time.
He's already DVRing it.
I know.
And it's not even been shot.
So apparently the CWs have ordered the pilot for The Lost Boys, based on the 1987 Joel Schumacher movie.
Michael.
I mean, they're trying to get vampires back on the network, which, I mean, I'm cool with, because, you know, the other vampire shows ended, so.
Yeah, because they had, what were the shows they had?
Vampire Diaries and The Originals. So.
Originals is gone?
Yeah.
I haven't been.
They're both gone.
I don't follow
As of
that.
Last season, they're both gone.
But you know what? I'm excited about this, because the Lost Boy vampires are the coolest darn vampires, I think, to ever come out of Hollywood. None have ever been cooler.
I just saw it this last October for the first time.
First time?
What?
Yeah.
No way.
And honestly, like, you know, I went in, like, thinking everybody really talks this movie up, but, like, what to expect. It's from the 80s. And I was like, no, this movie is still legit. Like, this movie is awesome. Like,
it's one of the best ever.
I very much enjoyed it.
It's in my top five movies of all time. It might even be my top three. I'm trying to think if there's anything I like more than.
Just make it number one.
It's good.
Go for it.
No, I've got my number one. Sideways. I love that movie so much. But that's for another time. Listen, there's also Netflix has announced they are producing a Resident Evil series. That's not up my alley. I don't know if it's up your alley, but...
My coworkers were talking about it today. I've never played Resident Evil, but I know a lot of my friends just finished playing, like, have been playing Resident Evil 2. But apparently, from what my friends were saying earlier, it's like a live-action version of Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes.
Kind of like Walking Dead and Speed, I guess. I mean, everybody has to have their zombie stuff. It's a zombie game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a video game.
I'm acting like I'm acting like this old guy that doesn't know anything about it. They've already had a Resident Evil movie, haven't they? A couple? Okay, I don't know. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, Resident Evil movies?
Wait, by the way, Steven is jumping in. He is the engineer. Welcome, Steven.
Thank you, guys. Oh, man, hello. There we go. Sorry about that. I had to light my engines on fire there. As a huge Resident Evil fan, I am so obligated to jump in on this conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
The game series dates back to somewhere around the mid-90s.
Right. I do remember when it was in the arcades.
Yeah, and the film series, which I think made it to like a number six set of films, was
Resident Evil
1. Paul W.S. Anderson, same director as Event Horizon, and starred Mila Jovovich, if I remember correctly. That's how I pronounce her last name.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
But yeah, I to consider even Netflix stepping into this, even after they have already mentioned, just a few other random things like a Castlevania anime that's, OST, like very old school 2D hand-drawn animation, and even a potential Cowboy Bebop live action that they've already announced. I mean, for them to go for something like this, I'm all about it.
I'm too.
I am all about it.
And I don't know why I had such a brain fart. There have been so many Resident Evil movies already coming out. As soon as you said Mila Jovovich, I can never pronounce her name. I know those are some kick-ass movies. Thank you very much, Steven. Yeah. And we look forward to having Steven chime in many, many more shows to come. So another big announcement that came out just this last week and a half, is the Summer 2020... it's not a reboot. It's the threequel, the part three of our theme song.
Ghostbusters,
which I am super excited about. It's going to be directed by Jason Reitman, the son of Ivan, who was the original director. It has caused a little bit of a stir in the Twitterverse, I guess you could say. Have you heard about it?
No, I didn't even know about it until just like earlier when I read this.
Oh, yeah? There's a teaser trailer that came out.
I think Brad, who's watching, was the one that first told us, right?
Yeah, Brad let us know about it. By the way, thank you, Brad, for letting us know about that.
So this is... Because, the most recent Ghostbusters movie...
That's the controversy, by the way.
That's what I'm guessing. Because I was confused a little bit by that. Mm-hmm. When you said Ghostbusters 3, I'm like, wait a second.
Well, no, because the most recent Ghostbusters movie, which was the gender swap movie, which the four female Ghostbusters, was not part of... I didn't see it, though. Did you see
I did not see it, but I heard it was,
not the best. Well, you know what? I can't say that because I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either.
I did see some chunks of it. I was laying in a hotel room and saw some chunks of it, and it was serviceable. But I'm not in high school anymore, and it's not the Ghostbusters.
They had a great cast.
I know. You know what? Kristen Wiig is an amazing, amazing actress, amazing writer. Leslie. Anyway,
just don't even try now.
I
heard Chris Hemsworth was great in it.
Yeah, but the controversy is that Leslie, I wish I knew her last name. The comedian that is one of the female Ghostbusters is really, really taking issue with this because it looks like they're going to be ignoring that movie and continuing with the original movie. I don't think that's a slight. My personal opinion is I don't think that's meant to be ill-will towards the movie. It's just that fans have been clamoring for a sequel to Ghostbusters 2 for years. And here we are, so many years later, 20, 30, and this is a good thing. And I just don't want anyone to... I don't believe this is a slight. By the way, I didn't see that movie because the advertisements for the movie made it look not that funny. That's the only reason. And I love Kristen Wiig.
Brad's saying on the new one, it was an Entertainment Weekly exclusive the first day it was announced.
Oh, yeah. Very cool, very cool. By the way, Brad should be sitting here with us right now, but he just got back from the gym and he was unable to. One of these days, we're going to have the big unveiling of
this. Maybe have him call in and we'll put up any picture we want of him on there.
All right, just a couple more things. Here's something that's kind of cool. Cassandra Peterson, a.k.a. You guys know who Cassandra Peterson is?
I know the name, but I've like
Elvira.
Okay, I was like, I know this name. Why do I know this name? Yeah,
no one knows her by
that
name. She
is teasing her fans on it's either Instagram or Twitter that there's a chance that she is bringing back her series, Movie Macabre, which was the famous 80s late night terrible movies that she would come in and do her comedy bits. That's how she became famous, that she might be continuing that on Netflix. If that is a true story, I'm on board. And
is there anything Netflix will not pick up? Logan, like literally, I feel like every day they're announcing more than you can possibly consume in your brain.
I know. And two last things, real quick. Channel Zero on Sci-Fi sadly has been canceled after 4 seasons. I know that was a favorite of a lot of horror fans. Also, CBS is developing a series called Evil. That's the name right now.
It's about a
skeptical female clinical psychologist and a priest in training who investigates supernatural phenomena. Does that sound familiar or what? Sounds like X-Files with a priest. And then we have, this is a little bit of local news here in L.A. Dark Delicacies is like the industry horror hangout shop where so many writers and so many people go to get to hang out, to do signings, to get their horror fix. And it was in danger of kind of losing its spot because the rents in the Burbank area over where it's at has jumped dramatically. So they did this crowdfunding thing, and it was promoted by Guillermo del Toro. And they have beaten their goals, and they are now in the process of moving around the block. And so hopefully they'll be with us for many more years to come. All right, does anybody else have any news before we move on to, and actually, Katie, we're going to jump into your section next.
Well, I was just going to say, if anybody who is a fan of the Universal Monsters, definitely go check out the Universal Studios lot Instagram, because they have a picture of the Universal Monsters mural that is going on the back lot.
Yeah, you were just
and
telling
it's,
us about
it's
that.
It's pretty cool. It's not finished as far as I know yet. I think I saw a better picture than that one, but yeah, if you go on that, it'll show you. It's pretty cool. It has Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, Creature from the Black Lagoon, Wolfman, and I don't know who the other one is.
What you showed me was really,
yeah,
really
it's
spectacular.
Very, yeah, they hired, I don't know who the artist is that's doing it, but they hired someone to do it, and it's really cool. So
I just love the fact that Universal is fully embracing the monsters, because I think that's their strength, and they just need to lean into that, and hopefully that's what they're doing now with Invisible Man. So, for the next section of our show, we always want to let everybody know of events and conventions and things that you can do to get ready. Right now, there is one going on in New Orleans that we're not going to talk a lot about. It's a great big Haunt World convention that it's one of those conventions where the industry shows up to get ready for the season. There's a lot coming up, but Katie, why don't you tell us what you know right now?
So, first of all, on here, I don't know when they announced this, but I think it was recently, when the Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights starting on September 6th. Is that both, or is that just Florida?
Both coasts.
Okay. That is really early.
Super early for Universal, I hear.
Okay, yeah, anyway. And then apparently 4 May scripts were written already. That's what you guys have on your I haven't heard that update, so.
Apparently from their social media accounts, they have 4 mazes that they've already written, and according to John Murdy, apparently he lives in Ireland. I never knew that. Anyways, he is coming back this week to pitch the number 3 and number 4, 2 mazes, getting ready to pitch them to the powers that be to see if they can get him approved.
And then, actually, before this, today, I believe it's the 7th and 8th of February. Is that the weekend? Hold on. Sorry, let me get my calendar out real quick.
I think it is. Yeah, February 1st is Friday.
Well, it's either the 7th and 8th or 8th and 9th is the Vampire Diaries convention in Tennessee.
Oh, is it?
It's in Tennessee, I believe. I just saw it today on one of my things. So if anybody is a fan of the Vampire Diaries, they're having that. I really wish I had known sooner and had money to go there. But that's one of my favorite shows ever. So, and then March 8th and 10th, we have Monster Mania Con in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And on March 15th through 17th, the weekend after, is Horror Hound Weekend in Cincinnati.
That's a real big one.
And then March 22nd and 24th, we have Spooky Empire in Orlando, Florida.
And what's interesting is Spooky Empire have started advertising themselves as one of the largest horror conventions in the country. And what I don't know, though, is because they have the spring convention, and then they also have a convention in October. I don't know if it's like combined as one of them, but I have not yet been to that one. And Luke, you have a friend that lives up in Ohio. Is he going to the Horror Hound in Cincinnati?
I'm not sure. Well, have to check.
Or was it
Jake
Indianapolis?
Well, they seem to do anything that's within a kind of a few hours and all that. So there's a good chance. We'll just have to. He is coming to WonderCon though, so I don't know if he'll save his resources for that.
Oh yeah, because WonderCon is the weekend right after the Horror Hound in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. So, in weeks ahead, we will try to profile some of the biggest, most important of the horror conventions coming up across the country. But as you know, as we get closer into the fall, and Katie is our expert here, we will stay on top of. We are giant fans of Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. I don't know anyone who does it quite as well. I know that Knott's Scary Farm is pretty spectacular. I even dare say they're a little bit more edgy than Universal is now. Universal,
they all have differences that are great. Yeah, I think they each have their own emphasis that makes them this one's good for this, and Universal's good for this, and Queen Mary is good for this. I mean, Queen Mary has alcohol. That's just the bottom line on that one. So,
Universal Florida has tons of alcohol.
Yeah.
But they have a saner crowd that shows up, too.
Yeah.
By the way, Saturday Night Live, Leslie Jones, she was the character in Ghostbusters, the gender swap Ghostbusters that came out. Was it last year or the year before? I think it was last year.
Did Brad tell you that her name?
Yes, Brad came through for us. Brad is our Wikipedia of choice on the show. Anyways, she was the one who was kind of raising some concerns, like, this sounds like they might just get rid of our...
Yeah.
And we hope that's not the case. We hope that one lives and maybe it'll do well. I haven't seen it, so I am not a defender nor a detractor. I am a non-participant in that one. All right. So those are some of the conventions that are coming up right now. What? Oh, it looks like Luke had something to say.
Let's get going.
Okay. All right. We have a certain movie that, and Katie, I don't know if you've seen this movie.
I have not seen it because I have not seen both of the prequels. Okay. That is why I have not seen it yet.
The movie is, Cheeseman?
Glass.
Glass. So right now, we're going to start this discussion with Cheeseman's.
Should we go spoiler free? Probably with this, it is pretty. We don't have a lot of time to talk about it. So
I don't think we should spoil the end, especially. Okay, we're talking about the movie Glass by the writer, director, producer M. Night Shyamalan, who also did Split
and Unbreakable. Unbreakable was first, and that was years ago.
I've seen 19 Unbreakable, years. But it was a long time ago that I saw it. So
Unbreakable was 19 years ago. I saw it for the very first time this last week.
Nice.
And I used to. I was the biggest fan of M. Night Shyamalan.
Fantastic
before he went down. What with The Happening, and then what's the big the Airbender show he did.
Yeah.
But then I loved Lady in the Water. I was one of the very few people who absolutely loved that show. But anyways, Cheeseman's going to give us, we're calling this his review from the couch, but he's at the table today. So Cheeseman, give us your review of Glass. What do you think?
Well, you intro'd it pretty well. So it's based on Unbreakable, and Split was more of a recent one that came out, and Split was very good. It was kind of like M. Night had been kind of, like he was saying, going through kind of a period, but where the films weren't as good. But after he did, what was the one? The Visit.
The Visit was fantastic.
It was a really good one. Kind of did kind of like this, just keeping it simple, low budget. And then Split was very interesting. James McAvoy's character and the multiple personalities. And then they surprised us at the ending with showing Bruce Willis's character from Unbreakable. And
was that at the end of Split?
Yes. Yeah, it was the little surprise teaser thing he was watching something. And then it's like, oh my gosh, that's Bruce Willis. So they were promoting at Comic-Con and other places that they're, you know, going to bring Samuel L. Jackson back and then Bruce Willis's character and then James McAvoy and have them all kind of together in one movie. So they're really promoting the three of them in there and Samuel L. Jackson, his name. But then we also think that Glass could mean different things, too. So
what
it's
was
not
his name?
Necessarily. Well, he went by Mr. Glass. What was his main name?
I want to look that up. But
you have to look that up. But I think it really started off like really good, and my biggest thing is like the trailer made it seem like it was gonna do more and stuff, but they did keep it simple. It was a lot of great scenes, and like the characters were great, and especially
Elijah
James
Price.
McAvoy's Elijah, yeah,
Elijah,
Elijah
Price.
Yeah,
huh, interesting. Why is he calling him Glass? That's a superhero name.
And I just didn't really feel like they invested emotionally, like, as much as he does. Because usually he has kind of this deeper thing going on, like, you know, with Signs, with the family.
Yeah.
Or even kind of, like, in Unbreakable, he was splitting up with his wife. And
a deeper emotional level.
And they were kind
of
reconnecting, almost starting over kind of a thing. So usually there's more of that to the films, where this one had little moments, but it tried to bring in everybody's storyline. It was just a little more jumbled than it could be, but I mean, overall, like, I liked it, but there's definitely some things, especially towards the last half of the movie, I wasn't as big of a fan of, which I can't really talk about.
Yeah, and this is perhaps the biggest thriller horror movie of the year. It's not a straight horror, that is for sure. It definitely has some definite strong horror elements, but it's the biggest premiere of the year in the horror genre. Overall, were you satisfied, not satisfied? What do you think?
It's a little more towards the not as satisfied, because I was really looking forward to this. I mean, because you had two great movies to pull from, and this could have been great if they just would have done a few things, you know, differently. But I feel like I can say kind of like it's called Glass, and you kind of think it's going to be a Mr. Glass's story, but then it didn't really even show him till what, like 20 minutes into the movie, or it felt like a while.
And how long was it until he talked?
Yeah, and for him to even have a line was even longer. So
over an hour, he was comatose, staring like.
Yeah, but some cool things they did is they brought back the son. And it's so him and
the actual actor who played the son,
Bruce Willis's character, they brought his son back, and then they were kind of working together because he was kind of doing kind of the mercenary thing, going around town and kind of almost like a Batman vigilante kind of thing.
So just to set it up, so Bruce Willis's character, he's the overseer, overwatch, he's the guy in the raincoat.
Yeah.
Anyways, he is fighting crime. He's been doing it now for like almost 20 years. And his son is kind of like his Alfred, who's in the bunker talking to him on the radio. So he's fighting crime. And for those of you who don't know, James McAvoy's character, Kevin. Is it Kevin?
Well, Kevin's his real name.
Kevin's his real name has been.
But the Beast is the kind of the comic kind of thing in it. Which is cool. Superpower. This movie talks a lot about comics, which fits very good with the con guy brand.
Yeah.
We're more the scare guy here, but
hey, we like scary comics.
Yeah, but scary comic. Yeah.
I love the way that it took a part of this occurred in a comic book store, the same comic book store, I think, from the original film, but they from the
Unbreakable
film. Yeah,
I think even
film,
the guy who ran the store might have been the same actor.
I love the way that it was all couched within comic book lore, the legends and the comic book stories. Because as you remember from Unbreakable, Mr. Glass, he believed that the great stories of mankind have been told through comic books. And comic books show us that we can be heroes and we can be exemplary. And that theme carries into this movie. I'm going to jump on your...
Well, you seem to love it when you were like, this was great. Like,
okay, I was going to say...
So talk about...
I liked it quite a bit more than you did.
Yeah.
But I liked it quite a bit more than Luke did. But when was I saying that? Did I say that when it was at... When the movie went off, did I say that?
When you're walking out, you're like, yeah, it was really good.
It was a really good... I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed Glass. I think it there are a couple of typical M. Night Shyamalan twists at the very end, which you're like, there's one twist I'm like, ooh, that's one.
Are they worth the wait, I guess? Without spoiling it.
I don't think they're as big a twist as, you know, like The Village or Sixth Sense kind of a thing.
There's not a Sixth Sense twist. There's nothing like that. But the twist at the end of this is... It speaks to the core of the struggle of the entire movie, and it's well done. That being said,
what did you think of Dr. Ellie?
Who's that?
Sarah
Paulson.
Sarah Paulson, yeah.
I love Sarah Paulson. She was amazing. I think the scene where she had all three of them in the same room and they're all talking to each other went on way too long. And this isn't giving any away. She is there trying to help them see that there are no such things as superheroes.
Yeah, like you can explain away everything that's happened
science
with all of them.
And she, you know, her goal is to get them back into polite society or whatever. So there is right in the last 10 minutes, we have some big brain oops that happen that you're like, whoa. The big one I did not see coming. I enjoyed that one though. I enjoyed it. But I don't think they played it out well.
Gotcha.
In the same way, the core heart story of the movie, which they were leaning towards, going towards, building towards, I thought it was obvious what was going to happen and never happened. And because of that, that was a giant fail. There's one thing that M. Night Shyamalan, and we can talk offline if anybody wants to text me, or anybody wants to
tweet
to me, I will discuss it with you. How I think the movie should have ended. And, you know, we're all good armchair people here. But anyways, the way the movie should have ended would have made it such a... Remember how we talked? Mm-hmm. Especially since he said to... One character said to his... Anyways, I
feel like you should just stop before you give something away.
I'm going to.
Yeah, anyways, yeah. All I'm just going to cut you off.
Is Luke probably gave it a 5. I probably gave it a 7. It should have been an 8 or 9 if it would have had this one more step forward to go. But there was this great big giant thing that happened at the end. I could not understand why in the world M. Night thought that was such a great thing. Really, this is it?
Yeah. And I think the character of Casey from Split, they brought her back for this particular movie. And I thought the relationship between her and Kevin was very kind of interesting. Because you'd think with what she went through, she'd almost like Halloween had that more of that post-traumatic, like, I can't even look at him or I'll break down kind of a thing. Where she had like a strength where somehow she could still sympathize with him.
That was one of the best parts of the movie.
And
I agree. Stuff.
Like, their relationship was very... That had a little more of the heartfelt that M. Night has in his movies, usually. And what was also interesting, jumping kind of to the end, was the credits. Like, they basically, when they rolled the... They listed every character James McAvoy played.
Like, which 15
almost took
characters.
Up, like, the entire screen, because, you know, he
was
has...
McAvoy.
Yeah, because he's playing, as himself, playing all these different people. And they, even on IMDb, they list... All the ones that he played, which is pretty
I loved
funny.
It. I love that part. James McAvoy was an amazing actor.
Yeah,
in this.
Like he, like to be able to play in like mid, like because they'd have just long, and he'd switch characters just all in one.
And we take. Do have to wrap this section up, but I do have to say the three main characters, Samuel Jackson, James McAvoy, and Bruce Willis. Just were in top form for this movie. So good.
And M. Night did make a cameo, which was cool because it tied back into his character from one of the other ones.
If you saw Unbreakable, he's the same character.
Isn't
same
he in all his films? Doesn't he make a cameo in all of his films?
Yes.
He does. Yeah. Okay. Like Alfred Hitchcock, he was a big fan of, and he did that as well.
Cool.
All right. Anything else before we move on to the next session? Cheese.
I was just checking the chat feed, but I'd say, yeah, go see it. I mean, different people love it. It seems like the fans like it more than the critics. I will say that.
Yeah, okay. Critics didn't treat it so well. Like, whereas Split got up in, like, the 70s, I think, around the 70s in Rotten Tomato, this one was down in the 30s or 40s.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a very special section coming up. This is our, and I think we have a graphic that
I don't.
The Scare Guys 2019 Horror Preview. Look at that beautiful face there.
No, it has Annabelle on it.
Oh,
yeah. I don't like Annabelle.
So this is the part of the show that everyone's been waiting for. We're going to talk about the movies, the horror movies that everybody can't wait to see this year. And there are quite a few. I'm going to say right up front, there's not a trailer for all these movies. There's not a lot about all the movies. Some of them we know a lot about. Some of them we don't. But we're going to just go ahead and go down our list and see. And let's go ahead and split this up. Katie, would you mind doing maybe February, March, and April for us?
Yeah. So February in a couple... Next weekend? Wow, next we're already weekend. In February. Is The Prodigy.
The Prodigy, which looks creepy.
That one's like about... It has like a creepy kid in it, right?
Another creepy kid movie.
It's a creepy kid movie.
Well, see, I don't have cable, so it's hard for me to see these trailers unless I see them on Facebook. So, and then February 8th, the day after, is St. Agatha.
For the record, we almost had somebody from St. Agatha on the show with us tonight, but that Brad's going to help us work that out. Right, Brad? Yeah.
February 20th is the sequel to Happy Death Day, or Happy Death Day to You. Mm-hmm. I never saw the first one, so...
That was a fun movie.
You need to. It's a fun movie.
I think you would like it.
I'm just kind of surprised there's a second one, but yeah.
But anyways, it used to be on February 14th. It was coming out as a Valentine's Day special, but that's also the day of the one-year anniversary of the Parkland mass shooter in Florida, so they just wanted to get off that date.
And then the 22nd is The Turning...
It
says it's based on Turning of the Shrew.
Henry James novel back in the 1800s. I don't know hardly anything about this movie.
Yeah. I haven't heard of most of these. Us, that's the new movie produced by, I can't think of his name right now.
Jordan Peele.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's his new movie. I haven't heard much about it, though.
Did you see the trailer?
No, I haven't seen the trailer yet.
No, this is a really good trailer. The trailer for Us, it's got Lupita Nyong'o is in it, and it's got... three or four other people, but she's one of my favorite actresses. So it's about this family that goes to visit some friends
and father take their kids to their beach house, expecting to enjoy time with friends, but their serenity turns to tension and chaos when some visitors arrive uninvited.
dun, dun, dun. I, that that the flu voice is helping you out there, man.
Yep.
But so. The trailer was creepy because they have
evil versions of themselves.
Evil versions of themselves show up on their front porch, and they must fight them off. And it looks creepy as heck.
Is this third movie now or second?
Okay, this is from the guy who did Get Out.
Yeah,
what was his first movie?
Did he do Black Klansman too? He did, right? Or no?
No. That's Spike Lee.
Okay. Well, anyway. It's like he did.
You're thinking of Keanu the Cat movie.
No.
Okay.
Anyway, okay. So April 5th is Pet Sematary.
I am so excited about this.
No, got on that road.
Pet Sematary was the very first Stephen King book I read as a child. The movie I loved. It's another creepy kid movie. Mm-hmm. And then this one, it's got the voiceover that you hear, you know, sometimes dead is better. Man, can't be beat. John Lithgow.
Also, it's not a movie, but Sabrina Season 2 comes out on April 5th as well. So I'm excited about that. That's why I'm throwing it out there, because I really liked Sabrina. I watched all of it. And then April 12th is Hellboy.
Is it
a reboot or a sequel?
It's a reboot.
That's why I thought it was a reboot. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not got Guillermo del Toro attached, and it does not have
Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So, and then on April 19th, The Curse of La Llorona.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like I heard something about that, but I don't remember what it was.
The trailer's pretty creepy. The trailer shows like there's an accident on a bridge and there's two kids in the car and they're told to wait back here while the parents get out and go investigate the accident. And while they're waiting back here, the La Llorona she shows up. And anyways, for those of you who have been to Universal Studios, they had a great La Llorona maze like 2 or 3 years ago. It was one of the scariest ones I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So of all those movies that you've just said, Katie,
which
ones do you think that you are most excited about seeing?
After seeing Get Out, I definitely want to see Us, just because Get Out was phenomenal.
Yep.
So I definitely want to see that. And I don't know about the other ones because I haven't seen or heard enough about them yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I don't want to see The Prodigy. Oh, and I can't think of the name right now. Right now they have Escape Room.
Oh yeah, Escape Room's
out
right
now.
And it's doing surprisingly well.
So I did not see it yet, but that one is out now. I've heard mixed. I haven't really heard very much about it, but it looked interesting, and I liked Deborah Ann Woll, so
yeah,
I'm still hoping to see it. But
I'm hoping it does well. Like it seemed almost too of the moment for me. Like sometimes there's movies like let's make a movie about Twitter.
Although I'm surprised it took them this long. Like
escape rooms have been around
because they've been popular for a while now. But yeah, I would say probably Us because of Get Out. Mm-hmm.
And we just watched the trailer for St. Agatha right before the show. What did you think of the trailer? Basically,
I don't know.
Creepy nuns.
It's just like that February, March time is like kind of not a great time.
That's when Get Out came out.
Yeah, I know, but there's exceptions, but it's just like
and
a weird time.
And Split came out last year. It's becoming the time when you're getting these prestige movies, though. What we call prestige whores. By the way, prestige whores are like I said at the beginning of the show, the ones that people are trying to actually say something, they mean a little bit more. And then there's the good old-fashioned schlocky whores that, like Halloween.
I mean, I'd go see Happy Death Day 2 and Pet Sematary are kind of the two I'd be most excited about
that are coming up. I will see Happy Death Day 2 at the screening from work. That's what I'll do.
But you got to see the first one first.
Hello.
Tell you what, and I actually saw the first one. I need to re-see it again because I fell asleep. Not because it was bad, but I saw like a midnight showing of it and it was hard for me to stay awake. All right, I'm going to take
kept waking up and it was the same scene over and over again. It's
like, wow. Like, I keep on seeing the same thing. Yeah. All right, I'm going to take the next section here for May and June and part of July. Or May, June, and July. Brightburn, starring Elizabeth Banks, this is a movie that was supposed to debut this past summer at San Diego Comic-Con. There was a big coming out party for it, but that was canceled once James Gunn was fired from Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, sadness to my heart. Anyways, so this is going to hopefully be coming out this year. It's about a baby crash lands from outer space and is evil.
A child. At least that's what IMDb says.
Oh, a child. Okay. So it sounds like one of those typical James Gunn crazy ideas, which I'm really excited about. The Grudge is being remade. It was supposed to come out June 21st as Grudge, but apparently this just announced today it got bumped to 2020. Nobody knows why. But June 21st, there is another horror movie that, speaking of schlocky 80s and 90s horror films, Child's Play is back.
Wow.
So this is not a prestige film, I do not think. This is one of those that's just about a little killer doll that's killing people. This is probably, this is our second creepy doll thing on the list. Coming out August the 2nd is, why did I skip all the way to August? I bet you this is July the 2nd. Wait, when does New Mutants come out?
Well, there's a July the 3rd for untitled Annabelle film.
Yeah, there's an Annabelle film. The doll goes after the Warren's 10-year-old daughter. The haunted Annabelle doll is being kept in the Warren's private collection, and it goes... So this is a Chucky versus Annabelle. We'll have to do like a showdown on the show here. Like, what do you think about that?
I don't touch the Annabelle. No, nope. The most I've ever done is the mains at WB.
I think we need to bring... I'm going to bring a doll on the couch sometime.
Oh my gosh. I will not be in that show.
Katie, you should dress up like Annabelle. That would be
great.
I've
been told that, but she literally terrifies me. Anyway,
The new Mutants is August.
So it is really August.
Also, July 4th is Stranger Things Season 3.
Oh, that's right. So that's what I'm most excited about for the summer. That's my favorite horror film.
It's like a movie, kind of.
I read an article today that says that they are predicting that this is the year when audiences will finally get tired of 80s nostalgia. And it said that they will finally, and you mentioned Sabrina, it says because we are overdoing it with Sabrina, they think that by the end of this year, people will be tired of Sabrina. I don't know why they're saying that, because Sabrina got picked up for like, two or three more seasons?
Sabrina was amazing, so I don't know what those people are saying. I actually am rewatching it right now, so yeah.
Well, good for you.
Bring on the 90s and the bowl cuts.
But August, then, the New Mutants, what we just talked about, is the final Fox X-Men film before we think the Disney and Fox is going to merge. It's not happened yet, but it's probably imminent. But it's a horror film, the very first horror superhero film, which will be interesting. And then August 9th, there's a movie called Midsommar. I don't know what that means. It's from director Ari Aster, who this year he was the director for Hereditary. So this is his follow up film, and it deals with American tourists going to Scandinavia and meeting up with a pagan cult. So it sounds something like right up his alley. So of those films, I'm the most excited about the New Mutants. I really am wanting to see that. But unlike you, I think the Annabelle films are crazy creepy. The Conjuring universe is so well done. I'm looking forward to the Annabelle. And then Child's Play, of course. Cheeseman, what's the next set of films we got on the list there?
Just to mention with Child's Play, I think they're going with kind of the older look of Chucky now, right? Like less of that stitched up kind of look, and kind of more like it looked like on here, Chucky may have more.
Didn't
of
they release a picture?
Look. I think so.
They did.
Yeah, I think they might.
There
have.
There was some kind of Chucky.
There was something about the
Cult of Chucky. Yeah. Was this stream?
That's shown in 2019. That looks like more old school Chucky.
Yeah.
And all that, not that weird stitchy Bride of Chucky look. So. Ooh. All right, yeah. Coming in August, my birthday month, we have Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which you know a little more about that than I do.
It's a book series for the past 10 or 15 years. It's been a really popular, like, haunted and ghost story book series that I guess Guillermo del Toro is involved with, because he picked this up and wants to make it scary. And he can make things scary.
Yeah, and then next September 6th, this is the one I'm looking forward to the most out of everything here.
Me too.
Which is It Chapter 2.
Yes.
So people are kind of skeptical because they kind of decided to tell the story different. Like, people love the kids.
Yes.
And all that, which will be a part of this, but it'll probably mostly be telling the story of the adults. So there may be like flashbacks of the kids. So,
yeah.
But they got a really great cast, and they did such a good job on the first one that, yeah, I'm just really looking forward to seeing what they do with this one.
Yeah.
By the way, and Brad just wanted to say he wanted to concur with your opinions on...
Concur.
He agrees with you on Sabrina. It is the biggest pickup of any TV show so far. I think it got picked up for 4 seasons. That's never happened.
Never.
Well, and the second part of season 1's already coming out. And the first part of season 1 is still new. So, anyway, yeah.
Okay.
All right. And then October 11th, we have two movies, actually. Not one, but two. We have Zombieland 2.
Yeah. That's going to be a funny, scary one.
And if you've
one.
Seen the first one, that was a lot of fun. So this one probably will be just as good, hopefully. And then also for some old 90s Nickelodeon nostalgia, they are making they made an Are You Afraid of the Dark movie. So I used to watch that when I'd go over to my aunt and uncle's house because I didn't have cable growing up. But
yeah. Didn't we go see a panel on Are You Afraid of the Dark? From
isn't there a teaser out already?
Yeah, they had at Long Beach.
It's Long Beach, which was that Midsummer Scream last year. Yeah,
I feel like I already saw something about it. Like that's already out, so I don't know what they've said, but. Or I'm just thinking of the TV show, which is very likely. So, yeah.
So yeah, those are the few on my list.
We do
but
have
definitely
some.
It for me.
We do have some that have been undated. We'll just go through this list really quickly. Three from Hell, which is a sequel to The Devil's Rejects. That's not my stuff. I don't know. Is that Zombie? Rob Zombie? Devil's Rejects?
I assume so.
Okay.
I mean, Devil's Rejects, yes.
Okay. 47 Meters Down, Uncaged, the sequel to 47 Meters Down. Then, this last week, we started getting some word about Velvet Buzzsaw. Have you guys seen the trailer to that?
I feel like I might have, because they don't give you an option. They just start playing them.
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
It basically looks like a modern-day...
I think Brad was excited
American
about
Psycho.
That one.
American Psycho, I think, is what it looks like.
The Velvet, but and also Polaroid. He's been talking about a while too.
That I'm not. What is that about?
I have no idea. I haven't heard of it.
We will put some more information on the website. There's a movie called Rabid coming out. There's a movie called The Boy 2. Remember?
Yeah, we saw the first one.
The Boy, which is
I got taken to see that movie, and I did not want to see it.
That was another creepy doll movie.
Yep, nope, I don't like creepy dolls.
What's
up?
But will the doll be a creepy doll this time?
That's gonna be interesting. Yeah.
And then two last ones on our list here. There's one called In the Tall Grass, based on a Stephen King novel. Yep.
He never makes movies out of his.
I know.
Books.
How unusual. And then finally, here's a movie that is debuting this week at. Sundance, extremely wicked, shockingly evil and vile. It's the story of Ted Bundy.
Played by Zac Efron.
Zac Efron, which he's probably a pretty good choice to play Ted Bundy.
Yeah, I saw a little
trailer. The trailer's out now. I actually posted it, so I can try to retweet it. I think I tweeted it, actually. But yeah.
Cool. That is our list of the movies that we have on our list right here. Cursed Polaroid. Brad is saying that Polaroid is about... If a picture is taken of you with this camera, you are cursed. That's kind of a... It was pushed... Oh, it was a Weinstein film, so it got pushed back. So
gotcha.
Shame on him.
That guy.
But Brad did say something else that was kind of interesting here. The Super Bowl ads, which are coming up this weekend, are getting in on the horror game. Like Sarah Michelle Gellar is revisiting her Scream roots in a spot for Olay called Killer Skin. Sarah Michelle, that's kind of cool. I think that's awesome.
You're right. The 90s are going to be what comes
back. Or is
back
it
next.
I Know What You Did Last Summer? That was more of her thing.
She was in Scream 2.
But that was just pretty much once the Mega Bagga Zagga. Yeah.
Maybe. Well, she's.
She'll probably say
either
that.
Either way,
you're right.
I think when he said the 90s is the next thing we're going to have nostalgia for, now I'm starting to think that with.
Yeah. Bring back the scary movies.
And Brad is saying that Pet Sematary is being listed as the number one anticipated horror remake of the year. I believe it. Yeah. I just absolutely love that film. Do we have any other horror movies, horror news we want to throw out before we close the show today, guys?
I don't think so.
We good. I'm excited for Stranger Things.
I'm excited for it.
Interesting that it comes out in the summer, so it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. I know. Have you seen the trailer, by the way? The trailers
no,
for it?
I have not seen the
trailer. Oh, it's so great. The trailer of the mall where they're at. It's going full on 80s weird style. I love it. I am most excited about It Chapter 2. I hear that the kids are back for this. So we're going to have some of the kids, but then it definitely goes into the adults. And they have an all-star adult cast with James McAvoy, Jessica Chastain, Bill Hader, blah 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 blah, blah and other people. Yep. So I don't have everything memorized. You might think I'm a computer brain here, but it's not true. I love horror. I love the horror movies that are coming up this year. Zombieland 2 looks like it's gearing up to be a funny one. Chucky is back. I'm really hoping that it does well. Anyways. My name is Jim. Luke's sitting here.
He's like recapping what he already said. Like, all right, just get to it.
We are done with the show tonight. Thank you guys for coming back to our very first Scare Guy show of 2019. We have a lot more coming your way. But you can find me at ConGuyJim if you want to contact me. Where can we find you, Katie?
You can find me on Instagram at Katie's Fairy Tale or on Twitter at KT_Christine.
You can find me homesick. Just kidding. You can find me on Twitter at CheeseOnCouch because I'm normally on the couch. And on the ScareGuy.com and TheConGuy.com if you want to check out that show as well, which yes. will be our next one.
We'll be doing a Con Guy show in just a couple of weeks here. Mad Max, if you were watching tonight, I hope you're enjoying this. Sorry we didn't
if
have it.
If you're Christopher Walken.
I know. By the way, Max says one of the best horror movie names of all time, Chopping Mall. Get it? Chopping? Get it? Chopping. Back from the 80s. Anyways, guys, please check out our website. We will be talking a lot more about these movies as the weeks come on, and we'll have a lot more about the events and horror conventions and everything coming up. Stay tuned to The Scare Guy. We have a lot coming forward with you this year. All right. It's going to be a good year. Bye, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.